And now the game where we ask wonderful people about silly things. Celebrities want to be interviewed by her. Other public radio hosts want to be her. Bill O'Reilly wants to pretend she doesn't exist. We are so pleased to have her with us here in the town that she made famous, Philadelphia's own, Terry Gross. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So great to see you.
It's wonderful to be here.
So, let me just admit this. You're better at interviewing than I am, so what should be the first question I ask you?
Oh, gosh. How should I know the answer to that? That's your job. I'm just showing up.
If you were interviewing you...
I'm just showing up.
If you were interviewing you...
Yes.
First of all, how would you prepare? What is your typical preparation for interviewing someone like yourself?
For interviewing someone like myself, I would listen to a lot of my show.
Yeah.
I would read anything I've written.
Right.
I would read what other people have written about me.
Okay.
And then I would go to sleep, and then I would wake up and think, so what am I going to ask?
Right. And would you, in your kind of patented Terry Gross way, look for that little crack in the facade that you could pry yourself into just at the right moment to open up their emotional vulnerability?
I don't like to think of myself as preying on my listeners and going for their vulnerability.
Yeah. But you do that so well.
I don't think of it that way.
We don't listen for the, you know, press releases. We listen for them to be reduced to tears or rage. That works for us, too. Actually, I have to ask you something. You do two things, again, that I admire. First of all, you always seem, despite your many, many years of doing this, always seem, I won't say embarrassed, but a little awkward with some of your more pressing questions. You're like, oh, I'm almost sorry that I have to ask this, but... did you kill that person? Which makes us like you, right. As opposed to, you know, the more, you know, yeah. Getting your face morally safer. Did you kill that person? Yeah, that's really...
This may be too personal, but do you have sex with animals?
Yeah, that sort of
that
thing.
That kind of thing.
I've always wondered that, yes. About each of your guests.
Do you genuinely sometimes feel that way? Like, oh my God, I got to ask him about the animal sex thing. I hate to do it, but I got to do it.
Well, I really want to be respectful of my guests, and I don't want to intrude. So when I'm asking an artist about how their personal life connects with their work, I really don't want to transgress into very personal parts of their private life.
Yeah.
So I'll ask in as nice a way as I can and give them permission to not answer. And if they do answer, I know that it's okay.
Right.
And then I can keep
asking. So that's be like, do you have sex with animals? If you don't say anything, we'll just assume you do. And that's fine. That's okay. We're not here to judge. Everybody thinks of you, I do, as somebody who is like amazingly sophisticated and varied tastes, and you're always talking to the most interesting artists and writers. Is there something that you love that would surprise people to know? Something maybe you enjoy non-professionally.
Oh, well, it might be opera, because I surprised myself to know I like it.
Nobody here is surprised to know that you like opera.
Oh. Actually, I've said that on the air lately, haven't I? Yeah. No, but I'm still constantly surprised that I like
that. Why wouldn't you like opera?
Don't you like eating Fruity Pebbles in your Daisy Dukes or something?
Yeah,
like, something like that.
That's something what like Mars.
Super on Terry
like,
Gross.
Something like
right.
My Little Pony. I would so much love it if you said that you like of an evening to get stoned and watch My Little Pony. That would be...
Okay, so here's one that might surprise you. I like watching, and my husband likes this even more, watching the Time Life infomercials for country music, rock and roll, soul music.
Love them.
Yeah, there's great performance
with
clips
the scroll.
Oh, is this one where they say it has all the favorite hits and the scroll goes
and
by
I
and the ones in yellow?
I actually know the announcer.
Oh.
Right?
That's your like big celebrity crush.
That is not like embarrassing, but I'll give you major prize for weird enthusiasm. That is not what I expected.
It's a wild scene that we have at home. You wouldn't believe what happens when we're not having sex with animals. Yeah. If you think you're blushing, you should see my cat.
Terry Gross, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling
Hulkamania.
So you, famously, are Terry Gross. We thought we would ask you about Terry Gene Bollea. He became famous under the name Hulk Hogan.
Oh.
Yes. We'll ask you three questions about the great pro wrestler, and if you get two right, you win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on the voicemail for one of our listeners. Bill, who is Terry Gross playing for?
Alex Stammel and Tommy Sherman of Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
All right. Now, I assume you know who Hulk Hogan is.
Yes,
very famous
I do.
Person.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan, as we know, had a very long career as a professional wrestler, perhaps the most famous professional wrestler during the 80s and early 90s. But his career in the ring ended soon after in a surprise upset. He was defeated by whom? A wrestler known as the Oxford Comma. B, Jay Leno. Or C, the late host of Piano Jazz, Marion McPartland.
Wow, is it really one of them?
It really is.
Gee, I'm going to go with Jay Leno.
You're right, it was Jay Leno.
Really? Okay.
Jay Leno was a wrestling fan, and he appeared in a tag team match with Hulk Hogan at, I believe it was the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. You have two more chances here.
Okay,
in 2008, Mr. Hogan, then retired, took the stand as a witness when his son was on trial. The judge made an exception to a courtroom rule for him. What was it? A, he was sworn in on a phone book, which he then tore in half with his bare hands. B, he was allowed to wear his trademark bandana, even though that was against the rules, apparently because Mr. Hogan didn't want anyone to know he was bald. Or C, Hogan's lawyer, in lieu of shouting objection to anything that was said, would allow us to smash a chair over Mr. Hogan's head.
I'm going to go with B, the bandana.
You are correct. He was allowed to wear his trademark bandana. The judge said it would cause too much of a ruckus if they made Mr. Hogan take it off. All right, last question. Here we go for the game. In 1985, Hulk Hogan went on Richard Belzer's TV show to promote WrestleMania. And then what happened? A, Hulk told Belzer he referred to his right and left arms as Law and Order, inspiring the series that made Belzer famous. B, at Belzer's request, he demonstrated a wrestling move which resulted in Belzer being knocked out and then getting 9 stitches and then suing Hulk Hogan. Or C, he revealed he was originally going to be a sad character named Sulk Hogan.
I'm going to go with B again.
You're right, it was B. He knocked out Richard Belzer, causing some injuries in a lawsuit. Bill, how did Terry Gross do in our show?
3 straight. Terry, congratulations.
Yay!
Terry Gross, in fact, is the host of Fresh Air, which you should listen to if you want to know what a good public radio show sounds like. Terry Gross, thank you so much for being on with
me. I love your show. Thank you for having me
Terry,
on it.
What a pleasure.
So
Terry Gross,
fun.